and verse 5. Well, I figured earlier today, since I didn't turn it off after Sunday school, I have, you know, 5 minutes there to play with. No? Okay. The problem is when I leave it on when I'm singing, I think. 8 verse 5. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Society was on a bit of a slow uptick when it came down to understanding Jesus and what he could do. They didn't quite get who he was. And they didn't quite get all that he was capable of. And sadly, we have not gotten any faster. When Jesus found faith in a person, he called it out. And he wasn't very shy to do the same for a lack of faith. As we would see many times, he would rebuke his disciples for not showing proper faith. When you have done so much and proven so much, it must be frustrating when those who were the recipients sit with clogged ears and doubtful hearts. A lack of faithfulness has to be one of the most insulting things to God that we can have. We serve a God who comes through. And while many a institutional religion today will get up and say faith in such a flippant way without understanding what it is, and many self-help religious gurus will get up and demand, well, you gotta have faith, you must have faith. Through Scripture, we see in this lesson that Jesus commands faith. That faith is something we are told to have. And we see it commended here with the centurion. The centurion had a very basic thought. And this thought was as followed. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what he will do. I just need to get to him. Many of us, we carry burdens. There are things in our life, illnesses, family members, cares and concerns about work, cares and concerns about finances. And there are things that we can do about them. There are things that there's nothing more we can do about them. But nonetheless, we carry them around in the form of worry, doubt, anxiety. Those are the burden type things. Right? I pray every day for my children. But to say that I set the burdens down by saying that, well, I've prayed for them, so I no longer feed them, teach them, or correct them. That's not what laying the burdens down mean. I still have my responsibilities to it, but I don't sit there and stress and worry about it. You ever see those lucky rabbit's foot? You just see people rubbing those. Right? If you want to see some crazy behavior, go to a bingo. Now, I think bingo is a form of gambling. Don't get mad at me if you go bingoing. But you see people out there, they got their little omens, their little good luck charms all over, and they worry on those things. And I was sitting there, I was getting into a car of somebody in high school, and I looked over on their rear view mirror, and they had a rabbit's foot dangling off their rear view mirror. I said, What's that for? They go, luck, and I got out of the car. Because if whether or not if you feel the need to cut a rabbit's foot off just for us to get to where we need to go, I don't trust your driving. I'm out. Now, we joke about that sort of things, but many of us, we do that. We have burdens. We have responsibilities. We have things that we detest going on in our lives and in our area, surrounding area. And we do nothing but worry and stress and pickle over. I can't believe this is going on, and it keeps us up at night. Folks, that's not just behavior we're not supposed to have. That's sinful behavior. It is. If I were to have Gideon come up here and I were to put him up here, right? Your parents ever do that for you? You're up in a high place and they jump. Now, if I asked him once and he held off, he'd be like, well, I understand he's a small kid. Jumping, that's a scary thing. If I told him five times, you'd probably start to hear the irritation in my voice. I know I can catch you. You may not know I can catch you, but I know. Come on. Right? If we're always doubting God in that way, we're going to have miserable lives. Very worrisome lives. We went to Cedar Point one time with somebody, and all they did was whine. It's too hot. Food's not good. These lines are too long. It was miserable. Right? Almost to the point where for half a second I thought of, how can I just make sure that in the log flume ride, their seatbelt's not on right? Just get them out of here. That's a half a second thought, Brother Mike. Don't look at me like that. Half a second. I repented. I'm a Christian. I'm allowed to think it. I'm not allowed to do it. No, Jesus makes it very clear that even to think of hurting your brother, I got it. They whine. And they worry and they stress. Now, me, I understand that. I grew up around people. They put a lot of effort into things. They put a lot of care into things. I'm one to think it over and then rethink it over, turn it around backwards, think over it that way, flip it back around, think over it one more time. Right? Always messing with things, always turning, because I'm concerned about doing it right for the Lord. But there are some folks that can do that and just get no enjoyment out of their service to the Lord, no enjoyment out of their day, no enjoyment in their workplace, no enjoyment in the home, because all they do is stress about the four or five things they can't control. This centurion had no control over this palsy. Though he could command all these men, and though he himself was commanded by a greater army than who he had following him, he had no control over this one thing. But he did know one thing. He knew about this man, Jesus Christ. And he knew that all he had to do is get to him. How often have we brought things, concerns to the Lord? We've got, I think our prayer list is about 4 to 5 pages now, right, of just different concerns and cares that we all have. And we take them and we bring them to the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes, many a times actually, we've been able to come back and say, Lord, thank you so much for doing this and for doing that. And we've pulled those things off of the prayer request list, put them over onto where we can praise the Lord for them. And that's who He is. Now, some things we are praying for, and the answer is either wait or it's no. We're talking about, what do I do in that time? Where the answer is wait or no. What we need to practice is taking our burden and laying all that concern and worry down at His feet. Don't be selfish with your burden. Don't think you have it all on your own. Let's run through your prayer list. Have you obeyed God and your responsibilities in those requests? Did you give them the gospel? Have you given biblical counsel where it's warranted? You following doctor's orders? You being a good steward of the things involving your request? Is your life clear of sin? Good. Now stop carrying that burden around with you all day. Handle your business with it, but that worry, that stress from thinking about it all day, you let that alone. And if you find yourself worrying at it or carrying it about with you throughout your day, then you need to go back to the Lord and give it back. I've done that. I'll confess to that in front of you. Lord, this is a big concern in my life, and I don't know what to do with it, but I'm laying this burden at your feet. 5 minutes later, I'm in the car driving to work, and I'm rehashing it all in my head uselessly. Now, what's a useful way of dealing with a burden? All right, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. But sometimes we're rehashing things we can do nothing about, right? I gave him the gospel, I gave him the advice, I paid the bill, I took the medication, I did everything God told me to do about it, doing everything I'm supposed to, but we're just sitting there going, oh man, what's going to happen if I don't do this? Oh, if this doesn't go away, if God just answers, and just worrying about it, you need to stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I said I was going to leave it here, and I took it with me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll come back over here. I'll go back driving to work. Because sometimes while we leave our burdens there, we kind of reach back into the throne room of God and we grab it back. Going, do we honestly think that if I don't sit here and stress about this, that it's not going to get done? That God needs me to lose my hair over it before he'll do anything? I mean, I understand fasting and prayer, but early aging signs in our face, right? Worry lines in our face. He doesn't need those things. You know what he wants? He just wants you to trust him. That's what the centurion showed. I know who you are. I know who I am. And I know what you can do. And I'm not going to impose. It doesn't have to be done my way. You don't have to come to my house. I don't expect any of those things out of you. I just want to let you know this is going on. I want to make my request as I know that I'm supposed to. I know that whatever you do is going to be best. Right? That's what he said there. I command people, they do. I'm commanded and I do. I've got servants, they do what I say. You tell this inferior thing what to do, and I know it'll do it. We need to bring that burden to God. I have prayed for people to be saved. I have prayed for medical conditions to come and go from my life. And I've never found a one drop of worry ever fixed a thing of it. Never did. There are people out there that I know that are living grievous lives, that everything they do hurts people around them, and they're hurting themselves. But if I sit there in my room late at night thinking it over and over, I'm not going to find the solution to it, am I? I'm not. I've known people with terminal illnesses, and you know what? They can cry or they can smile. It makes no difference to cancer or different diseases. It doesn't care. God doesn't need us to be in a sinful state. As a matter of fact, the very idea, the sentence that I just said, should tell us more about what we're doing than anything else I should say. We need people who are willing to echo the thoughts of, I don't know what will happen, I don't know what he will do, I just know I need to get this to him. What we see here commended is an attitude of faith. How do I sit there and be so involved into an activity and be comfortable not knowing what's going to happen in it? That's a hard thing, isn't it? I know what's happening right now, but I'm concerned about what's going to happen in the future. I want to see this change now. I want to know exactly the way this works. And I no doubt believe that there are many people in this church just like me. I need to know the whole story, and I need to know it right now. I need to know exactly what God's going to do, how he's going to do it, so I can worry about every step. You know why that's why God doesn't tell us what's going to happen? That's why we don't have itineraries according to what God's going to do. Because we would try to do what Abraham and Sarah did and help them out. I get frustrated sometimes at doing something, and you know what I'll do? And I don't know if it's right or wrong. I'll just want everyone to just go. Just go. I need one voice. I need one. I just go. I need to look at this without just right, because I'll be in situations and everyone well-meaningly will want to help out. Well, have you tried it this way? Have you done that? Have you done this? And it's just noise. Get out! Right? It'd be like having the boys help me change the brakes on the van. We need to change the brakes on the van, but having the boys help me do that. At a certain point, I would let them help me. At other points, for their safety, I wouldn't let them. You know what I would never let them do? Help me make decisions as to what needs to be done. Right? Because as much as they're my kids, I do see my father-in-law in a couple of them. My father-in-law has this philosophy, and we sat there many a time working on a vehicle. And you know what? I would make statements, and I would offer suggestions. And you know what he knew? He knew I knew nothing. So did he listen to a single one of my suggestions? No. Why? Because I knew nothing. Right? So, but he had this way of progressing with things, because often he would work on old beat up cars. That's what he did for a lot of the teenagers in our church. He would fix our cars, and he would only charge us a packet of cookies. Which, now that he has diabetes, I think that wasn't so good. But he had this way of getting a nut loose. If he couldn't get it turned off with his hand, he'd get the impact driver. And if that didn't work, he'd get something bigger. And then he'd start hitting it with a hammer. then the hammers got progressively bigger. And then at a particular point when he was done with it, he would heat it up and then start the process over again. And when that didn't work, he would put the heat on there for so long it would start to melt. Because, as he would often lovingly tell me, can't get stuck if it's liquid. And we'd have multiple different torches and just things out. And you just the progression, and you would see the progression. After a while, I just kind of caught on what order in which he'd wanted things. But at no time was it ever, hey, Matt, what do you think we should do? I only ever got to do what he was going to do anyway. Why? Because I knew nothing. You know what? As much as I study the Bible and for as long as I live and all the wisdom I've got, you know what I know about tomorrow? Nothing. You know what I know about my problems, the end results of them, and how to fix them? I know my responsibility to them, right? How to do it, how to be a good steward. Biblically, I know what I'm supposed to do, but do I know God's portion of it? No. And ultimately, that's who it comes down to. I know nothing. God's not going to give me the itinerary of things. Why? Because in my selfishness, in my foolishness, in a very Abraham and Sarah way, I'm going to try to make it happen on my scale, on my time. The problem is, if I could fix all my problems on my own, right, wouldn't need him. The fact of the matter is, there is no scenario in which I ever could fix all my problems on my own. Again, not just biblically, but there's going to be some things out of my reach. I need the Lord. I need to have an attitude of faith. I trust him. I trust that he doesn't need me. I trust that he knows how this is supposed to go and what this is supposed to be. And you know what? In many ways, I don't know what he will do. That should both give me comfort and it should give me pause in what I do and in my fears. You know what? If I look at a situation and I look at it and I say, you know what? I don't know what to do there. I'm grateful that I don't know what God's going to do, because that means he knows something I don't know. Doesn't he? Doesn't God always know what you don't know? We were doing this. I was up in the church yesterday and I was setting over my stuff and I was going through things. And as I was going through things, Danielle texted me. She was, Casman's been on a kick. He wants chicken and waffles. Well, we're out of chicken. So Danielle sends me a text message. She goes, we need chicken. I go, all right. So I get in the car. Now, there is a Meijer off of Morris Road. And if I was going to go to the Meijer, that's where I would go. I don't like necessarily going to the Kroger over by Flushing. I avoid it if I can. So I'm going to go to Meijer. And I'm thinking to myself, I go, well, I'm on my way there. I'm in my eating window. I'm going to get me a coffee. And for whatever reason, it really started to bother me. You know that coffee shop down there in Frankenmuth? Now, y'all going to think I'm crazy. I couldn't get that out of my head. I'm like, you know what? It's a Christian place. They sell Christian Science at least. You know, so I got to think about it. You know, it's been a while. So I decided I was going to go out of my way a little bit. Went out of my way and I got the coffee and I got to the Meijer, and all of a sudden they shut down all the things. Like all the little registers, they shut them all down. Why? Tornado coming. So I'm in the back of this Meijer. And after a while, you know me, I'm not going to stay put in one place. I was in the back of the Meijer, I was in the middle of the Meijer, I was in the front of the Meijer. I was sitting next to the Meijer pony. I was coming back around, I was doing all sorts of stuff, waiting for the storm to pass by. Well, I get home with the chicken after driving through the storm, which was a nightmare and a half. I'm ready to get out of the car. Glenda texts me, I hope y'all in the basement. I'm like, wind's whipping down on the car. Like, you know it's bad when it goes from downpour, no rain, downpour, no rain, downpour, no rain. That's when the wind's really starting to pick up. And I get in the house, and later on that night, Danielle comes over to me, and she shows me this house that was leveled. A portion of the house was leveled by a tornado off of Morris Road. Oh, brother, are you sitting there saying the Lord used your caffeine addiction to get you to go out of the way? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if the Lord worked upon me. I don't know if it's my own gluttony. I don't know what happened. But the Lord interrupted my path from going one way to the other. Could I have probably been home and back before the tornado hit? I don't know. All I know is I saw an area that my mind would have said, go there, and I didn't go there. Right? My fault, not my fault, Lord's providence. I'd like to think that I was protected a little bit from going that way. It might not have been I hit a tornado. It might have been the fierce rain or whatever knocked me off the road. I don't know. All I know is that me would have been there. God works out something different. How many times, and I love the song Legacy 5 sings, it's called The Storms I Never See. Where all I'm going through life, I had a great day. And I didn't see how many times the Lord kept me from a car wreck. I didn't see how many times the Lord kept me from being in the wrong place at the wrong time when there was a robber walking into the gas station. I didn't, you know, I'm sitting there getting all flustered because I'm stuck in traffic. And I'm sitting there going, well, if I had just left a little bit earlier. And then you stop to think, if I left a little bit earlier, that's where I would be. How many times has God kept the storms at bay and we had no idea they were even there? My pastor said this one time, he goes, if we knew all the things that God has done for us, all those blind spots that we have, if He just illuminated them, it'd scare us to death anyway. Amen. All the things that God does, I'm glad that God knows things I don't know. Amen. And I trust Him in that. And because He is who He is. And you know what? Support it even more so. Right? I'm convinced of who He is. But He doesn't just leave it there. He gives me proof after proof that all I need to do is bring it to Him. This is where it belongs. You're just going to play with it. You're going to mess around with it. Stop it. Right? I sit there. I have my phone on. I'll be reading something. You know who wants to get at it? Melody wants to get at it. She grabs a hold of it. And do you think she sits there and she checks the weather? Does she check her email? No, she goes, holla. And I explained to her, no, sweetie, see, this is, look, this is for checking things. Look, see, daddy's doing the bills. Look at this. And we laugh at that, but in God's eyes, that's us with our problems. No, listen, I gave you this for this and that to happen. Okay. I'm just going to worry over it. I'm just going to spit on it a little bit. I'm just going to ruin it. Right? Hold on. Well, I understand that you're all powerful, but you can't do this unless I stress over this. Whatever happens, the answer is get it to Him. Whatever He says, whatever He commands, I need it. And to my dying breath, I'll do it. And when we bring our burden to the Lord, there's some things that we ought to bring with us just to make sure that it stays there, right? Some paperweights to put on top of our burdens just to make sure they don't end up back in our pockets on our way out. The very first thing you need to bring is your humility. Look at verse 8 with me. Chapter 8, verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. You need to know who you are before a thrice holy God. When you bring that up there. Listen, and when we pray, and I try to make this clear in my prayers to the Father in private, I am not trying to bend your will. I'm not trying to manipulate your will. You've asked me to pray in an intercessory way, and I'm just being obedient to it. So Father, this is what I would like to see, but I give my way to your way. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said? If Jesus Christ can say, not my will, but thine, you better believe we ought to be saying it too. You know, I'm not asking you to come to my house. I'm not asking you to bless me in this way. You are the Son of God. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not trying to get some glory out of you. I'm not trying to show off to the neighbors. I don't deserve that. I wish I had better things and bigger things for the Lord to be able to come on inside. Can I ask you this? And I know preachers ask this, but I'm asking from a different direction. If the Lord wanted to come over for lunch today, would you be okay letting Him do it? Oh no, I got laundry sitting out. I've got four kids. Lord, you got to give me at least. I'm not worth. No, my house is not worthy. You come over, look at it. And I think that's kind of the centurion's attitude here. I can't have you come over. I've got a dirty old house. You don't deserve to come and sup and dine and work in a dirty old house. You command this lesser thing, and I know you can handle it. And I often think that when it comes down to the Lord, Lord, my problems aren't worthy to be brought up to you. All the things that you've done, all the things that you're capable of, they must seem so small to you. But as we sang, the Lord knows our cares. He knows our concerns. And oh, praise Him, He cares. We would sit there and we would say to the Lord, I'm not worthy to be blessed by you, but I know who you are and I know you're probably going to do it anyway. Because that's who God is. He's going to bless. What we also need to bring with us is obedience. Not just humility, but also obedience to it. To where no matter what I hear when I open up the Word of God concerning this issue or concerning any issue, I'm going to do it. And He made a very big deal about it here in verse 9. When He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. In saying this, he's not bragging. He's trying to say to the Lord, I understand how this works. Right? I'm under authority. I have people under authority. I know what your authority is. And you say it and it will happen. We need to come to the Lord with the understanding of regardless of what I think or regardless of what I want to do, I will listen. Why? Because everything listens to the Father. When dealing with Jesus Christ Himself, Matthew 8:27, we're talking about a time where the disciples, they're on the boat and there's this big wind and there's a storm going on. Verse 27 says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Right? When the commander speaks, lesser things obey. And I'll tell you what, as important as anyone could ever want to be, the winds do not listen to man. The sea does not listen to man. Disease does not listen to man. But listen to the Lord just fine. And I'll tell you what, if this nature, if this world around us can obey with no brain, no spirit, no soul, I can too. With all the tools God gave me, it's a farce to not. If we sit there and say, Lord, at your command, we know illness will obey. We know the nature around us will obey. And Father, if you command me, I will obey. Well, I was talking to somebody just recently. They were talking about a phenomenon that happened in their church, and they were saying that there was a particular time where they had far more members than they had today, and they were struggling in the church financially. And I go, I've seen this about a dozen times, and I kind of chuckled because I knew where it was going. Because I've seen this. Well, they're struggling financially. Well, what happened? Well, a bunch of members left. I go, well, look at some of the people that left. They had some big paying jobs, and there was a good number of people left. You know what happened? When some of the troublemakers and those that were like terminally backslidden happened when they left, tithes and offerings went up, right? We'll go over at my treasury. You know that. For whatever reason, that works. How? Because God can't bless you when you're in disobedience. No, I take that back. He won't bless you when you're in disobedience. You're kind of, not that we would tie His hands, but He made a decree. Now He has to. I say that every now and then to the boys. Now I have to punish you. I wanted to do something fun. By punishing you, I'm punishing me, but I have to punish you now because this happened. Right? God won't bless that way. And I sat there and I was talking to him for a while and he goes, oh, I never thought about that before. Of course. But if you really think about it, how? How can God work in my situation if I'm ruining it? If I'm disobeying it? You know, I'm really bad at video games. I'm really bad at them. And that's okay because I'm a grown-up. And it's only ever really become a problem when my kids are now old enough to play them. Right? Dad, can you help me with this? No. No, I cannot. That's somebody else, man. Nope. Right? And I was trying to help. I was trying to help Xander. I'm going to tell this story. Don't be mad at me. I was trying to help Xander, but he kept running into a wall. Now, I don't know much, but I know that you're not supposed to just run at walls. Stop running at the wall. Dunk, dunk, dunk. Okay, stop running at the wall. He'd go to the other wall. Dunk, dunk, dunk. About four or five times, I finally lost it. I'm not helping you anymore. You're not listening to me. Again, that's what we do to the Lord. Just, all right, well, Lord, all right, stop going that way. Stop going that way. Yeah, but I like it. How come I'm not going anywhere, Lord? I feel like I ought to quit because I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. Well, you keep tripping yourself. You're not obeying. How can I if you don't listen? Now, of course, God could pick you up, put you in the right direction, but you know what that behavior would do? It only gets you back to another wall bumping into it. You need to understand why you can't do that. That's why He makes such a big deal in our lives to get us to obey. So that we would learn, not just to fix the problem, but so that we would learn through it. Right? Wouldn't it just be so much easier if God calmed every storm that whipped its way into our lives? But no, there are things that we must grow through. Sometimes there are things there that we would repent and we would change our lives, that we would grasp a hold of. So He can't just fix it. He wants us to grow. While we're bringing things like humility and obedience, we must also bring our faith. I'll ask you this, how many of your prayers would be answered if you fully believed that God could and would do what it was you asked? That's a hard thing to consider. What things am I praying for that I've already given up on? And I'm only praying out of habit or obedience. You actually believe God can do the things? Oh, I believe He can do it. I've seen Him do it. I just don't think He will do it. You know that's a lack of faith too? Now again, we understand that God will not fully bend to my will. There are some things where God's going to look at me and He's going to say no. But to ask Him, not thinking He will, is disobedience. He says, come to me. Come what? Boldly. Boldly. Not apologetic, not doubtfully. Not going, hey, listen, I don't want to ask this, but I feel like I have to, but I know you'll say no. That drives me nuts. Right? About two or three of those in, I'll go, get after it. Right? Maybe I should have packed a snack for this if I knew this was going to take so long. Just tell me what it is you came to tell. Go to the Lord. Be honest with Him. Believe that He can and will do that thing. Now, does that mean that if I do that He will? No, He can still say no. Just don't play games. Do you like when people come to you and make requests and they don't think you will do it? What kind of attitude do they have? You know, the Lord can smell that in your heart. He knows who you are. He knows the inner workings of your mind. He knows. You think He can't tell? Oh, He can tell. He knows. You go to the Lord with faith. Our entire relationship with God started off with Him doing the impossible with you. What do you really think could limit Him? Could you think of smaller stakes? Jesus didn't need to hear this guy, a centurion. He didn't need to pay any attention to him, much less in the scope of things. It wasn't the centurion that needed to be healed. It was his servant who wasn't even there. Jesus would have gotten nothing out of healing this guy. Because remember, the whole purpose of the miracles was to draw attention to the gospel. And once we got the word of God, the miracles ceased. So all that was to bring people into attention. Now me with my marketing mind, why would I play to a market that will not be represented? Why would I advertise in a way that would never be seen? But Jesus Christ is not a marketer. He's not the devil who's trying to convince people. He's the Son of God. He has compassion. He has care. There would have been no lower stakes than this. And He cared. God doesn't just prove His ability to do the big things, but He proves His ability and His care in the small things. We are prone to the same doubts and anxieties of our circumstances as many of the people we read in the Bible. We would say, God won't fix this. God won't care much about this. There are bigger things. This illness, this lost loved one, this wayward child. Don't kid yourself. God hears. He cares. Don't take wait for no, and don't take no personally. It's His will. We may hurt for a while. It may take us a good long while to understand. But nonetheless, we know we can trust Him. And we see the Lord's response to this, response to His attitude, response to what it is He has to say. Verse 13 says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. There was a moment in my salvation where it was impressed upon me God's ability to save my soul. I was sitting there. I wasn't much. I was probably a little bit older than Xander. And I firmly believed that God could save me, that the blood of Jesus Christ was for me. And you know what? I've never met a sinner that I didn't believe that his blood could not atone for. Right? I've told you this. I've heard many of people, well, I've done too much. You've never done too much for God. You may have done too much for you to forgive. You may have done too much for society or your family to forgive. But you have never, never sinned more than what Jesus Christ could atone for. It just doesn't happen. And we understand that if he can do so big a thing, what can't he do? To me, of all the illnesses and the resurrections and all of creation, to me, the greatest miracle will ever be our salvation. I understand the value of building a sun and stars. I understand the value of putting the oceans where they are and how he created things. And I praise him and I worship him and all of his creation. And when I see that a prayer has been answered, that things have worked out in a favorable way, I can't help but praise him for all those things. But to me, there'll be nothing ever so big as being able to take a worthless, helpless sinner and helping him anyway. Well, brother, the word helpless there is kind of like the end-all limit. Not to God. Not to God. We need to start praying as though this is what he would say, that as thou hast believed, so be it done. Do you believe he can do what he says he will do? You know what I do? When I sit down with our prayer request list, when I sit down with the cares and concerns of not just my heart, but yours, I know he can. Because you know what? I serve a God who comes through. There are things that I've promised to do that don't work out. You know, speaking of the prayer request list, it kind of hurts me a little bit that it's not out there every week, and I apologize for that. I don't always come through. God does. He cares. He comes through. Legacy 5 sings a song, we serve a God who comes through. And in the song, it talks about how he lets the odds stack up. He lets the danger build. He lets things happen that just make no sense to us whatsoever. And it gets us to the point to where we're like, how could this possibly happen? And that's where the Lord comes in and says, that's how that's going to happen. You think about that. We just preached about Gideon going before, and he's got the 300 men. He's like, I had 32,000. How am I supposed to do it with so little? How is this supposed to happen? And God goes, so you know it's me. That's one of my favorite sayings, that when something seems like a coincidence, that coincidence is just God's way of staying anonymous on the subject. I want to handle this. I want to handle this in a great way, but I want you to be like, how did that happen? I love that. But my people, they're going to sit there and go, yeah, it just so happens that I was at the wrong mire when the storm happened. It just so happens that these 300 men will be perfect for shouting into this cannon. It just so happens that it took 30 years for this to happen so that all these things would happen first. God doesn't have accidents. He has plans. And when those plans happen, it's a surprise to us. It's a wonder to us, but it's a Tuesday to him. That this is average for him. That there are no stakes for him. There's no fear. There's no terror in his heart. There's no doubt in his heart. He just does the things. And we need to have faith in that. That he does come through. You know what? We serve a God who heals. You know what? He might not have healed everything you've ever struggled with. You may be sitting here today with doubt and pain. We pray for a lot of people who have illnesses that are scary and terrifying. But God can heal those. That's the God we serve. Whether it be right here on earth or he takes us home for that ultimate healing where we never suffer again. Our God heals. And not just that, but our God repairs. He repairs broken relationships. He repairs broken homes. He repairs broken situations. And you know what? He'll even fix our broken stuff sometimes. You ever stop before you get your tools out to pray? That's the best tool you can pull out. You better pull that one out first. Well, I'm just gluing two things together. Yeah, but let's not risk it.
Let's stop and pray.
Oh, you know, I just need to tighten this real quick. Yeah, let's just stop and pray. Well, thank the Lord for us even having a thing to fix. We'll thank the Lord for giving us the tools to fix it. And we'll thank the Lord for strength in our arms to be able to get it done and for knowledge in our heads to be able to get it done. And we'll turn this whole thing over to Him, right? David style, this battle belongs to the Lord. You ever turn your personal squabbles over to the Lord? This battle is the Lord's. How would He have me to do that? Now, you already know my two favorite words, how to fix most problems in between two people.
Shut up.
Right? Sometimes you don't need to say it. Right? And hopefully you're not one of those people who a lot of times you don't need to say it. Just hold off. You know, how would the Lord have me to handle this situation? This issue with my brother, this issue with this cousin, this issue with this with my spouse, my children. How would the Lord have me to answer this? And if we honestly go to the Lord for every single last one of those, we'll have strength to be able to take care of them right. We'll have knowledge to be able to take care of them right. I'm always talking about how God provides the tools, but what a pity when we leave them hanging up on the hook. You know what else the Lord does? He comforts us. Living in the land of the dying, we're bound to run across sorrow. We're bound to run across things that shake us up and hurt us, to terrify us. This centurion stopped everything he was doing for this one servant. So you know this servant meant a lot to him. And we don't know anything about this servant other than that that servant meant so much to the centurion. He had to stop what he was doing to go find Jesus to do it. And at this particular time in his ministry, Jesus was kind of, you had to kind of wade yourself through a little bit of a crowd to get to him. What a comfort it must have been for that centurion long, long before he got back to where his servant was. At the very thought that Jesus Christ, that my heavenly Father as well, knows what's going on in my life. What a comfort that is. We were talking about unspoken requests. And you know what? There are times where I've just said, hey, I've got an unspoken request because I want it to be a surprise. And there have been times where I've used the unspoken request because it's disgusting and gross and I don't want you to think about certain things. But for the most part, you know, Brother Wade hit on this. Sometimes people use the word unspoken request and they shouldn't have to. Let's just keep it out there. If there's a certain concern that I have, let's talk about it. Let's put that out there. Let's pray specifically for that need. But you know what? I can have a lot of comfort waiting for that to happen, knowing that He's involved, knowing that He's there. I don't know all what God has done in a situation, and I don't need to know all that God's going to do in a situation. All I need to know is that He's there. If He's there, it's going to be okay. Maybe not my definition of great, but it's going to be okay. Again, that promise to work all together for good. Right? The good, the bad, the disappointing, the pleasurable, the exciting, all of that work together for good. Our God comforts us. I no doubt, based on how Jesus praised His faith, that walk home was much more pleasurable than it was to walk to Jesus Christ. Knowing what He had said, knowing what He had promised, knowing what He had commanded. I want us to never doubt that our God comes through. That we would give our will and our way to Him, and we will see time and time again His blessings, His miracles, and His providence. Something that will often happen is people will not, they'll pray for something and it doesn't go their way. Now, I don't want that to sound selfish the way I put it. It's just a clear me saying it. Sometimes I feel I can be too direct and I'm not trying to be callous. But sometimes we don't get exactly what we asked for. And we walk away miserable. Well, He said no. And I don't know why He said no. You know, this really meant a lot to me, and He said no. He said no for a reason. And be sure that that reason was to work out something better. Now, is it going to hurt? Yeah, that's what life is. Life hurts. Death hurts. Loss hurts. Financial instability hurts. But I'll tell you what, in the great scheme of things, when I look back, no matter how painful that no was, I was much more grateful for the no. And I know how that sounds, but when I look back at certain things that I've cried and I've wept, I said, Lord, you said no. And I could never imagine a time when I would look back at it and say, I'm so glad you said no. Now I look back and I think, God, it hurt and it stung. But God worked things out in a way that never could have happened if that didn't happen. That he did something in me that never would have happened if that didn't happen. I told you that spot in this hill that I would go to pray, and when we thought we couldn't have kids, I would go up there. And I got angry. You ever get angry? I wasn't angry at God. I was just mad. How could this happen? Why did this happen? I can't believe this. I look back at that, and I drove a minivan to church. Filled with kids. I needed that moment. Well, Lord, it almost kind of seemed like I was being lied to. Get over it. Get over it. I trusted the Lord. When I got what I wanted, I need to trust the Lord that he knows what's best when I don't get what I want. I need to trust the Lord that he knows what's best when I get what I think hurts me. Because regardless, my God comes through. Will you go to Psalm 121 with me? I know Sunday school was a bit of a workout this morning. But Psalm 121. If you have doubt, if you have frustration, if you're one who struggles with leaving your burdens at the feet of the God who comes through, I want you to come back to this chapter, to this psalm. Verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. A man by the name of Arthur Clough wrote, it fortifies my soul to know that though I perish, truth is so. That howsoe'er I stray and range, whate'er I do, thou dost not change. I steady your step when I recall that if I slip, thou dost not fall. In order for me to walk steadily, in order for me to trust and have faith, I must have a clear and constantly refreshed understanding of who God is, how he cares, how he loves, and the fact that regardless of the circumstance, he is the master of it. When I have a firm grip on that, then I'll know it's going to be okay. I only doubt when I lose my grip on who he is. When my relationship with him becomes loose, then you're in trouble. So what do you do if you find yourself carrying those burdens even though you swore you put them down? You need to look at him and acknowledge how badly you need him, how futile your attempts to stress and worry something into fruition is. And we need to finally take our will, bend it to his, and know that his way is best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you mean so much to us.